We started a sermon series earlier this summer, kind of looking at stories from Scripture, people stories, and following through these stories, looking at the character of the people involved. Well, I can tell you that today, the story we're going to look at is, no doubt, it is one of, if not my absolute favorite story in Scripture. Now, you know, when you when you walk with the Bible for 50 or 60 years, you know, and read it and study it, you know, there's a lot of stories in the Bible, and there's a lot to choose from, and to say that this one today is possibly my favorite story in the Bible, man, it is such a it is such an honor to be able to speak today about it. And what's interesting is that this it's a really, really short story. And normally, when I preach on Sundays, if you paid much attention to it, my sermons generally have one point. You know, somewhere along in my past, I lost the format of sermons that needed to have 3 points and 17 illustrations and all those other things for you who have grown up in the church. I try to just do 1 point. Well, today, I'm breaking rank with myself, because there are going to be 2 points today. And you can pick which one applies. You can still just have one as you walk out the door today. Maybe there will be two for you, I don't know. But today, definitely two. I want to read a portion of the story. It's only a few verses long. We'll get to the end of the story in a second. If you have your Bible, you can open up to it. If not, you can follow along up here. And it is out of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and these are the words of this story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to get off her lazy bottom and help me." That's the kind of the abridged version, you know, of that. You can kind of you can feel it though, can't you? Jesus, you're the king. Tell her to get up and start working around here. And that, I think, is really kind of the sentiment that is the foundation of this passage. This is the story of two women, both who are close to the heart of Jesus. And I guess I want to say this at the beginning of this. This is not this story has, I think, created some undue conflict for people who have read it, kind of pitting the greatness and the spirituality of Mary against Martha, who missed the point. That could not be farther from the truth. I hope you'll see it here in just a couple of minutes. Because both of these women are godly. Both of them are servants and disciples of Jesus. Both of them have already made their mark on the kingdom and on the world, and have continued to make their mark for the last couple of thousand years. There is not one that is better than the other. It takes place, this story does, with Jesus and his disciples on the move. Now, we actually learn more about this story because there's a companion text in the Gospel of John, and a little bit in a couple of the others, that kind of fill in some of the blanks of where this is taking place and what's happening before and after and so forth. Luke's version of this story just kind of gets right to the point. Jesus is on the move with his disciples. And from other texts, we understand that he's arriving in the town of Bethany, at the home of Martha. Now, we can surmise, we don't know for certain from the text, but we can surmise that Mary and Martha live together. doesn't say so in this passage. We just know that Mary is there. And it says it's the home of Martha. So we're going to take it at that for today. So I want you to picture this. A minimum, there could be more, because Jesus has just kind of finished receiving the 70 disciples that he had sent out, and they had come back in. And there was always an entourage that was traveling with Jesus. But let's just say that there are at least 13 men that show up at the door. Doesn't say if it was announced or unannounced. They just show up. They just show up. Martha opens the door, and by the words that are used in this text, it says she opened the door and she welcomed them into her house, into her home. So I want you to put yourself in her shoes for a second. How would you feel if 13 men, one who has been out there doing miracles and is claiming to be God himself, showed up at your house on any given day? How would you feel? What would go through you in that moment? And that's kind of what we are seeing right here. I think many of you would do exactly what Martha did. She got busy. She got busy cleaning, straightening. Can you picture in your mind what it is like? I've been home for 3 weeks recuperating and rehabbing. And every now and then we get at the door. And this panic, you know, just sort of sets in. You've had that panic before, because you look at your house and go, oh no. Is there even a path to get to where I am sitting? I think there's some of that going on in Martha as she looks at her house, going, what are we going to do? We got to clean the house. There's 13 guys. They're probably hungry. We need to start making some food. And she's doing one thing with one hand and one thing with the other, cleaning and cooking and, you know, getting out stuff and lighting a fire and doing all that. I just picture this whirlwind of stuff that is going on. Preparing. And I got to tell you, that's exactly what the heart of hospitality does. If you who have read this story before and heard this story like I have often heard this story and seen Martha painted as some lady who's just got her priorities all wrong. And given, this is the passage that gives license to just not doing anything. Or being like your husband, who is still trying to watch the game while you're cleaning. Okay, which is the stereotypic view of how men and women function. But I want to tell you that what Martha was doing is exactly what somebody whose heart has been gripped by love and hospitality does. They clean and cook and make things better and welcome people in and want people to have the best possible experience they can have when they come in the door. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So why isn't Mary helping? If this is such an important thing to do, why isn't Mary helping? Is her house? Was her sister? She's alone right there. She knows. Look, there's a whole lot of people in this room that can identify with this. When somebody comes to the house, I mean, just think of you and your sibling. Don't think about your children right now. It goes downhill fast. But think of if you are with your sibling and something important goes on and you're doing all the work and your brother or sister sitting over there doing nothing. What are you feeling when that happens? I think that's what Martha was feeling. What's really interesting, though, is that Mary didn't just sit on her bottom doing nothing, watching Martha work. She did something that probably blew everybody away She did something so entirely and completely out of character and outside of culture that it completely rocked everybody. I'm convinced of this. At least it did everybody but Jesus. He's the one that got it. She didn't help. She didn't get up and start serving alongside her servant sister. She went over and she sat at the feet of Jesus, listening, absorbing His words. You know, in that culture, and I would say even to a large degree in our culture, 2,000 years later, sitting at the feet of somebody is the position of subservience. It's lowly. If somebody comes and sits at your feet, that is not a high-ranking position at all. But in this instance, and especially as we see the word used in the rest of the Bible, this is clearly not a position of lowliness. Mary was taking the position of a student. She was taking the position of a learner. If you look at that phrase, sitting at the feet of somebody, it was kind of a cultural colloquialism that we use in our culture likewise. Because when you sit at the feet of somebody, it means to be taught by them. I have some men and women in my life when I was younger, and I sat at their feet as a student, and they taught me. They poured into my life to help me become the person that I am today. I sat at their feet, and that's what Mary was doing. She had taken the position of a student and a learner. And here's what I love about this story. This story is not some pithy little cute story that shows up in the Bible that is to teach us about priorities. Although it teaches a lot about priorities. I don't think that's why it's there. I think this story is included in Scripture because it is the picture of reality. It is the way that things were, and I think it continues to be the way that things are today. You see, and bear with me when I say this, because this is how I gravitate to this passage. Mary was not helping in the kitchen where she belonged. I know if I were a woman reading this story would grab my heart. It would break the chains of what the culture that I grew up in had bound me with. Because there she was, Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus with 13 men, 12, sitting right beside her, and all of them going, "Why is she here? Why is she here?" She took the position of a man. In that part of society, in that day, women did not do that. They were not allowed. They were not allowed to be there. And that Jesus would not only tolerate her coming in and sitting next to Him, but that He would encourage her to listen to Him as He taught in this house was beyond radical. Don't miss this. It was beyond radical. Women were openly despised by the Judaism of that time. Openly despised. Women were exempt from the study of Torah, from the study of Scripture. They were not allowed to do that. Many, many rabbis simply discouraged women from learning. And I'll tell you, this was the first century. You look at what's happened over 2,000 years to women in culture after culture after culture. And I can tell you this, Jesus did not see that division between gender. He did not recognize that. There's nothing about Him that recognized that. In fact, He openly challenged it. We see it all the way through Scripture. Martha might have been busy doing traditional women's work. You know what I'm saying, don't you? We still have some of those phrases in our culture. Cleaning and cooking and preparing behind the scenes. Pardon me while I say this. While the men folk go do the important stuff. Whatever that is. Okay? That's our job, apparently. But to me, Jesus is making a statement. He's making a huge statement. And the same one that He makes today. This is point number one. You can write it down for me today. Men and women stand on equal ground before the Lord. Period. Period. And we should be so gracious and affirming of women who follow in Mary's footsteps. Who followed in Jesus' footsteps. I love this story. Look how it ends. Jesus is talking to her now. Martha, Martha. That's my voice inflection, but that's how I hear it. The Lord answered, You are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken from her. This is my second reason for loving this story so much. The past 3 weeks I have been at home staring at my walls. Under doctor's orders, rehabbing. I had big plans that I was going to do all this great studying and soaking in and read these books and write all this stuff and so forth. Meh. Didn't get much of that done. Pain meds have a way of messing with your thinking. And I've tried, and I've had lots of phone calls and, you know, good conversations, but unfortunately there has been a lot of TV watching, and so a lot of internet rabbit holing, you know, really. And so I've listened a lot to the news. Our world is full of commentary, full of opinion and editorials. And as if I didn't know this already, which I do, but I got reinforced after all of this kind of unbridled time to soak it all in. People of every flavor, doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what color you are, how much money you have, it does every single flavor. People are frustrated and angry and scared and disillusioned and exasperated and defeated and even hopeless. It just fills the waves every day. And I see it. I hear it. In many ways, I feel it. Just like you do. There is a house full at Martha's place. Martha is distracted, worried, upset about many things. Jesus calls her out on it. Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. I mean, how much clearer does it get? You know, it's almost like I get this picture of thinking Jesus is going, Martha, Come here. You are worried, upset, frustrated about many things. She was busy cleaning, exasperated over what her house probably looked like. How dare the king come and not tell me? How dare they just show up? Bunch of men. Gosh, can you imagine? A bunch of men who had been out on the dusty road for the last month or so, just showing up. Probably really hungry. She's making stuff from scratch, trying to yell at her neighbors to see if they've got more food to bring over. Arranging, serving. Man. And there Mary was. The equivalent of sitting in the overstuffed chair texting. You know that feeling? When you're doing all the work and the person that needs to help you is texting? Martha. Martha. I'll tell you again, this story does nothing to belittle or criticize Martha or serving or hospitality. If you think it does, you've missed the point. Jesus is just saying in this moment, in fact, in every moment, there is something better. There's something that is more needed. There is something of greater value than whatever is gripping you at that moment. Jesus is there, right in front of Martha. Yet she misses Him in her zeal to serve Him. It's as if she doesn't even see Him and He's right in front of her. The one thing that is needed, the better thing, is simply being attentive to Jesus. Being attentive to His words. You can't stop the onslaught of everything coming at you. Oh, you can slow it down a little. You can put up a barricade. You can get yourself ready for it. But you can't stop it. Life will just come at you. It will come at you, and you will get worried and upset and distracted. Don't forget this story. Don't forget the words of Jesus. The better thing is being attentive to His presence. Because Jesus changes things. Nothing else does. Oh, there are things that are good and helpful and whatever that can make life a little better. Look, I am glad. I am glad that I had the surgeon who did the work on my knee and not my son. I'm glad he didn't do the surgery. Look, made it vastly better, I think. Okay, there are things that can make your life better. But there's only one that changes things. Completely changes things. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus was not simply radical. He was fundamentally countercultural. He walks in a room and turns everything upside down. Everything. Everything is different for people who walk close to Jesus, are attentive to His words. He's always been that way. He always will be that way. So this is a story for those who have learned to stop what they are doing long enough to listen to the words of Jesus. That's who this is about. Is it about you? This is a This is a story for those who are learning to stare down their fears and frustrations long enough to experience His presence, and where His presence brings life-giving change to the heart. That's who this story is for. This story is for those who are willing to sit at His feet long enough to learn of His character and experience mercy and grace in ways that no person, no system, no alignment can ever do for us. This is a story for those of us, those of us who are in need of change. I think that's why this story is here. So I have a question for you. Band can come up. I'm done. But I got a question for you to think about. Whose shoes are you walking in today? Are you walking in Martha's shoes? Worried and distracted, busy, going about your own business, doing everything you can to try to get to the next day, get to the next moment? Are you worried? Are you frustrated? Is Martha your heritage? Or are you ready to linger? Are you ready to linger at the feet of Jesus a little bit? Are you ready to kind of cozy up beside the Master and let His presence disrupt your world? Because I promise, you walk close enough to Jesus, you start thinking and acting differently. It's what He does. Be ready to be close enough to Him that He'll make you whole and grant you freedom. Look, we all still need to serve. We all still need to be people of hospitality and love. But we need to linger at the feet of Jesus.